ideologically conservative, and financially affordable. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today to enroll now. Leave your contact info for someone to reach out to you today. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. You will be glad you did. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. We're looking at a broad brush analysis of what has just happened in New York City with the election of Islamic jihadist total communist as mayor, 34 years old, claimed to be part of the people, claimed to be basically coming out of the roots of poor poverty, etc., etc. That's a total lie. He had one of the most prestigious educations that money could buy, $59,000 a year at the time he was in college. He could have chosen a lesser expensive university there in New York. I believe the number's like $6,700 a year, which is one that, as the one writer put it, that the poor people went to college there, but he chose not to do that. But he was in a college and university where he was taught absolute socialism, communism, and a hate for America, a hate for Jews, hate for anything that's called Western civilization. And we're witnessing today the end result of that kind of education through the communist educational system in America. I've always called it the governmentally controlled education. It's designed to brainwash and not to educate the children, whether it be kindergarten through high school or the colleges and universities across America. If it is a state school, a federally funded state university or college, it is designed to brainwash and to sexualize and to demonize anything that is a student in the school. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, what are the takeaways from Mondami's election in New York? What was he standing for? What did he say? We're going to do a little view of what he said, what he stood for, and then his victory speech, what he said, and what he stands for. And then we're going to wrap up today on the broadcast. We're going to talk about what the Scripture says, and does the Scripture indicate, do we have any indication in Scripture that this that we see taking place is already foretold in the Word of God? I believe it does in a shadowy form, and we'll talk about that today. But I'm looking at one article that says, it was a Facebook post, says New York City is looking like it's going to be under communist, socialist, Muslim control. If that can happen in New York City, which is arguably one of the most famous and recognizable cities in the world, what does that say about our battle otherwise? Ladies and gentlemen, if we look at what Mondami claimed and his belief system, he says he's going to freeze the rent. That is rent control. Listen very carefully. Do you remember back in the Obama administration and Bill de Blasio, I believe it was the mayor of New York? They put in communist rent controls. And as a result of that, the landowner, the landlords that own apartment buildings, the taxes kept going up. The repairs kept, because the buildings are getting older, the repairs started to accumulating more and more, and yet they could not raise the rent, could not change the rent. They were under lockdown from the rent with rent controls. As a result of that, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of property owners investment owners walked away from the properties, let them go into foreclosure because it was cheaper to just leave them and abandon them than to try to keep up with doing the repairs and paying the interest on their loans and rent not able to increase at all. That's where we headed in New York City as a result of that. But freezing rent is what Mondamia said that he would do. Giving free medical services to all, including some 2 million illegal immigrants, illegal invaders in New York. Free bus, train, subway services, no cost to anyone. Free food. New York would set up its own food operatives with the city-owned grocery stores. Well, let's see how that works with the freebies where someone has to just walk out and get what they want and with no cost, no work to do so. Said they would build millions of new homes. How are you going to do that? The problem in New York City today is the rules and the regulations to get permits even. You're going to a year to 2 years to get a permit to build a building if it's simply an outhouse. You can't build buildings in New York. And yet he says he's going to cut through the chase and build thousands, if not millions, of homes for those that need homes. Where are you going to build a house and give it to a vagrant? You build the home, and at taxpayers' expense, provided for an Islamic jihadist illegal invader. Latest sermon, he said he was going to control production. That's a famous terminology coming out of Marxism, socialism, and communism, and that is what you produce, what others produce, we're going to put it in a pot and share it so that everybody shares in the production of the city. That's his mindset. Listen, this is the poorest illustration that is given where he says we're going to do it. It's the poorest illustration of anything that will be called proper for the United States of America, but it's the purest illustration of what would be called the centrality of socialism, Marxism, and communism. That's the goal of Mandami. The goal is to Islamicize and cause to be total communist in New York City. Now, how is that possible in America? How did this come about? Ladies and gentlemen, it's because we're witnessing today across America the uprising, the standing up of Islam. We have Chip Roy in Texas that's introduced legislation that will remove everybody that is a Sharia law sympathizer. We have Tommy Tuberville, senator from Alabama, that's just introduced two different bills that will make it illegal to have Sharia law in the United States. What is Sharia law? Sharia law is Islamic law. It is Quranic law. It is based on what the Quran says that becomes their law. Did you realize in Dearborn, Michigan, it was discovered just about a year ago. I think it was just whitewashed and washed over. It was discovered that the Islamics had already set up their own law enforcement, their own police department, with their own marked cars, with their own Islamic uniforms in Dearborn, Michigan, in the United States of America. Do you realize today in Texas there's some 330 mosques, some of them called super mosques, with about 450,000 Islamics in the state of Texas? Do we realize, ladies and gentlemen, that the election that just took place, multitudes of those that were elected may not be open in your face Islamic jihadist and pure communist as Zoran Mandami indicates that he is, but each and every one of them were borderlining on total communist people, that is socialist Marxist, those that wanted to introduce something and to carry out something that is not called Constitutional Republic of the United States of America with a representative form of government. And yet you have folks like Bernie Sanders talking about the oligarchs and how the rich people, yet Bernie Sanders has got, I think it's three mansions running between $1 and $6 million, and he talks about we need to take care of the oligarchs and remove them so that the common person can have something. Listen, most of these people have no earthly idea what it means to live paycheck to paycheck, but yet they claim to sympathize, and, you know, you remember Bill Clinton says, you know, that he was hurting because people hurt, and he felt their pain. Ladies and gentlemen, Zoran Mandami is very dangerous. Listen to an article. Mandami tells MSNBC, I support BDS, after saying he will be the mayor of every Jewish person in New York City. New York City Democrat candidate Zohran Mamdani defended his support for the Israeli Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions, better known as BDS, movement on Tuesday's interview with MSNBC. During the appearance on MSNBC, Mamdani was asked about his support for BDS, the boycott movement against Israel. Mamdani said he supports it, listen, as a way to pressure Israel to comply with international law. So what is boycott, divestment, and sanctions? It means anything, any company that has any investment in any portfolio that has any Israeli stocks, bonds, or any Israeli investments to divest from it, to put pressure on major corporate entities to basically cut off any funding for anything for the Israelis. This article goes further. Ask Mamdani how he would square his support with the Jewish New Yorkers while promoting the BDS movement, noting that many times in the city's Jewish community where he harbors animosity toward them. BDS has also been condemned by the Anti-Defamation League in a simplistic, biased-based effort to delegitimize Israel and embolden anti-Semitism. The candidate, that is Mamdani, argued that his criticism is for Israel and it lies with the government and not with the Jewish people. Ladies and gentlemen, let's just reverse that and say he argues that the criticism is for America and its government and not with the American people. How do you segregate and take that away? Ladies and gentlemen, that's the lie that we have coming out of Mamdani. And now after the election, after his overwhelming victory, and it was an overwhelming victory, we're going to look at in just a moment some of the words from his victory speech. Then we're going to look at what does the scripture say. And I'll give you a little hint. In Daniel chapter 11, verse 31 through 42, you find the Bible says that the coming Antichrist will be a Islamic Sodomite. Hear me. When you study the scripture, you understand this may not be the man that fulfills that eschatological prophetic text, but it will be that kind of a person. And the stage is being set now through Mamdani's election as an open, in-your-face Islamic jihadist communist that is against Jews. He's against America. He's against capitalism. He's anti-Christ. He's anti-God. He doesn't pray to the God of the Bible. He prays to Allah. Allah is his God. How is he going to have any sense of allegiance to America's God? How is he going to have any sense of allegiance to a constitution and all that the Constitution affords America when he is absolutely a total communist in doing so? We need to understand the danger that it bodes for the America and for the world. In fact, I've got article after article. His goal is not just for mayor of New York. His goal is to ultimately be president of the United States or the head of the world organization, WHO, or the other part of it, the global organization that's headquartered right there in New York. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize what is taking place. And as Christians, don't be afraid. Recognize that God is still in control. I believe Lily is on the line. Lily, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. Yes, God, a few years ago, when the powers of darkness identified Obama and prepared him, mentored him. They recognized his talent, ability, and they prepared him specially for the White House for this very purpose. And just a few years ago, when he was running for office, he knew that he couldn't tell Americans that he was a socialist or a communist or a Muslim. He knew that he had to deny it. But so today, as he went up into Virginia to openly canvass for the white woman as against the black woman to become governor, you can imagine it was full of glee that to watch where the progress that he has made over the years, because he said he came to change America fundamentally. And you can just imagine with what joy and glee he canvassed for that white woman to, because of the progress that has been made since he entered into the situation. So it didn't happen overnight. Where America is today, in the stage of descent, it didn't come overnight. It was gradually coming, and we sat carelessly, toyed with evil. You know, I blame the so-called believers, the so-called church, turned a blind eye as evil was at work. What were we doing while we allowed Marxist, communist, Islam, and to take over our educational system? What else could we expect when we allowed, for the love of money or whatever, we allowed them to take over, to influence the minds of our young people against patriotism and against everything American and God? So we are in deep trouble now, really deep trouble. But as you have been saying, I'm encouraged by what you have been saying, that God is on the throne. That is our only hope. And the other thing I'd like to say that knowing God, we know he delights in making a mockery of his enemies, make a fool of his enemies. So those who set up themselves. So we're not gone beyond. We see the grace of God. We see God working. We see what happened with on the campuses, with Price, Charlie Kirk had to pay to bring bring some awakening on campus among young people. Thank God for that. And our big concern is that believers, the church, will wake up and take our stand to make use of the opportunity that God is giving us. He has raised up Donald Trump, who has the courage to be doing the things he should be getting 100% support from believers, from the church. We are not saying that he is perfect. Over the years, God selects who he wants to work through and to use. No perfection. The only perfection is in Jesus Christ. He used humanity. So he has raised up Donald Trump for such a time. And if we close our eyes and use politics as what is happening in a big way to say that Donald Trump is evil, and I don't want to hear his name. We are making a fool of ourselves as believers. May God help us.
Yeah. Lily, you're exactly right. One of the things, I'll do a little parenthetical footnote on your statement, is much of the election in the past several days, not just with Zohran Mamdani, he openly confronted Donald Trump, said that he would challenge him, would not do anything that the president's office says or demands or directs for New York City. So also we had the other candidates running in New Jersey and in Virginia, that their whole campaign was Donald Trump is bad, Donald Trump is evil, Donald Trump is wicked, and so whatever Donald Trump says, I'm going to stand against it. And the thing, Lily, that surprised me, that evidently enough voters believe that garbage and voted for the Marxist, communist, socialists that were running for those candidate positions. So it demands our prayer and our recognition, as I've said before, and I'll say even at the sound of a broken record, the Bible says that perilous times shall come. Perilous means dark, dangerous, difficult. The Bible says that apostasy would set in. There'd be the great falling away from the church. The Bible says the next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church, when every Christian will be suddenly seized, snatched out of this world. The Bible says when that happens, the Antichrist will step on the scene. And based on my study of the Scripture, Lily, and I believe that our listeners need to understand that, based on my study of the Scripture, the Antichrist will rule with an iron fist, Revelation chapter 13. According to my Bible, according to Daniel, the 11th chapter, the Antichrist will be a Marxist, communist, Islamic jihadist that will be a homosexual. Now, I don't know that all of those descriptives follow in the footsteps of what Zohran Mamdani may be, but I believe it sets the stage for that. I believe God is setting this stage. God's putting the chessmen on the board for the ultimate next thing on the calendar of God, snatching the Christian out of this whole world. So as a result of that, a summarization of the eschatological prophetic text, Lily, I believe that Christians need to recognize the hand of God, get back in church, serve the Lord, and honor Him with our lives, and ask God to give us a reprieve from His judgment hand, from turning against God, turning against God's Word. Lily, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as you keep looking up. We keep looking hang up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. I'm looking at a headline. My dummy rips off his smiley mask as even Democratic patrons, such as Van Jones, partisans that is, Van Jones, noted the calm, embracing warmth of Mandani, who courted votes with sweet words. His words, sweet words, just simply vanished. Instead, he was angry with chilling combination of lies and revealing his untruths. Mandami gloated, New York will remain a city of immigrants, a city built by immigrants, powered by immigrants, and as of tonight, led by an immigrant, end quote. Goes on to say in the article, men under 30 years of age went from Mandani 64 to 23%, and women in that same age group were even more fancifully left-wing voted for the hip socialist, 81%, and the article further states, but the tenor of the socialism proffered by Zohran Mandami, the magnificent he's now called, is the overweening, arrogant, and intrusive socialism that collapsed in Eastern Europe. Further, the article states, the alternative promised by Mandami, which he made clear in the future, listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, as he promised for New York, it's not confined just to New York City, but being ready for all of America, Mandami said, listen to this, he made it clear that his future is not confined to New York City, but is ready for all Americans, and one in which we will prove that there is no problem too large for government to solve and no concern too small for government to care. Wall-to-wall government is what Mandami stands for, and it is promised lapped up by the youth who have no memory of understanding of the squalor and failure of socialism, Marxism, and communism, but wall-to-wall government from which nothing big or small escapes is not benign but arrogant. One might even say, barring terminology used by Mandami himself, that is a despot. If there is any way to terrify a despot, Mandani declares, gearing up his base, while explicitly goading President Donald Trump, it is dismantling the very condition that allowed Trump to accumulate power. In other words, Mandami's position is, we're going to go against President Trump. Everything that Trump has built, everything that he's done, everything that he said, everything that he has stood for, we're going to stand against it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll just do a little footnote to that statement. President Trump owns mega millions of dollars worth of property in New York City. You watch what I'm telling you. There's going to be a goal with Mandami to go against anything that he can do to undermine, tear down, and destroy Trump's investments in New York City. It is a major, major, major factor that, ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing what is horrible on its surface, but God is going to use it, in my most humble opinion, as part of his judgment cudgel against America that said no to Jesus Christ, that we banned the Bible, we banned prayer, we have absolutely destroyed our children in the governmentally controlled schools by sexualizing them, weaponizing them to stand against America. We see the results of it in the election in New York. And ladies and gentlemen, it's not just confined to New York. Across America, our governmentally controlled schools have the same modus operandi, and that is the professors, a socialist, Marxist, communist in general, and they want to tear down and destroy anything that's built up in the minds and the hearts of those kids that are put into the college arena. The mindset is, in the Marxist view, the professor has the goal of simply destroying the minds and the hearts of anything that's called morals, ethics, and values. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at what is called the full transcript of Mayor-elect Zohan Mandami's victory speech. Part of it, he says, tonight, against all odds, we have grasped it. The future is in our hands. My friend, we have toppled the political dynasty. Hear that term. We have toppled the political dynasty. He says further, this victory is for all of them and for all of you. More than 100,000 volunteers who built this campaign into an unstoppable force. Because of you, we'll make this city one of the working people, one that working people can love and live in again. With every door knocked, every petition signed and earned, every hard-earned conversation. You eroded the cynicism that has come to define the politics in New York. And he goes on and on, ladies and gentlemen. Part, he says this. Central to the vision will be the most ambitious agenda to tackle the cost of living crisis in this city that is seen since the days of the founder in New York, an agenda that will freeze the rents for more than 2 million rent-stabilized tenants, make buses fast and free, deliver universal child care across the city. Years from now, may our only regret be that this took so long to come. He's talking. Of teachers. We will cut waste from a bloated bureaucracy. We will work tirelessly to make light shine again in the hallways of the city development where they have long flickered. Ladies and gentlemen, he goes on in his victory speech of making sure that the hearer understands his goal is to put Islamic jihadists in every city office with every PowerPoint, with everyone that has ruling decisions to rule the city of New York. His goal is to make New York another Dearborn, Michigan. Says in here, no more will New York be a city where you can traffic in Islamophobia and win an election. This new age will be defined by a competence and compassion that long has been placed at odds one with another. As has often occurred, the billionaire class who sought to convince those making $30 an hour that their enemies they should earn $20 an hour. He's advocating for $30 an hour minimum wage in New York, ladies and gentlemen. Together, we will usher in, listen to this, we will usher in a generation of change. We will embrace the brave new course where rather than fleeing from it, we can respond to the oligarchy and authoritarianism with the strength in it fears, not with the appeasement it craves. Ladies and gentlemen, he goes on to say, after all, the conventional wisdom would tell you that I am far from a perfect candidate. I am young, despite my best efforts to grow. Listen to this. I am a democratic socialist, and most damning of all, I refuse to apologize for anything I stand for and anything I plan to do in New York. Ladies and gentlemen, that's his in-your-face disclaimer of what he plans to do for New York. And the bottom line is this, ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that we are in what 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5 calls perilous times, dark, dangerous, devastating. We are living in an era where apostasy, the falling away of Christians, we are simply on the very cusp, the very edge of witnessing the rapture of the church, where the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will be snatched out, and then all of these things that are prophesied in Matthew 24 and 25 shall take place. Ladies and gentlemen, it should cause us to pray, seek God's face, turn from our wicked ways, ask God to heal our lands. Thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast.